Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. How has your week been going? I've heard mixed reviews. Some people are having a really awesome week. Some people are feeling the Wednesday slump. I get that. But this week has actually been really pretty awesome for me. So I got asked to sit on a marketing panel where I get to chat about digital marketing and the entrepreneurship side of my business, which I'm really excited about. I'm launching a new webinar about budgeting, teaching people how to live on a budget and create one. I got to chat with my mastermind group. And most importantly, I got to check out this podcast reviews. Big, big thank you to everyone who has taken the time to leave me a review. I really, truly appreciate your positivity and your support. And if you haven't done so already, please go ahead and leave a review and subscribe to make sure that you're getting the latest episodes with all of the cool guests that we have coming up. Okay, if you're new to this show, then you probably don't know what this is, but if you've listened to a couple episodes, then you know it's time for our Money Wins. To share your money wins with me, use hashtag moneywin and tag me on Twitter or Instagram or even in the private Facebook group, Manage Your Money Like a Boss. Let's go ahead and dive into these. Dasha is from the Facebook group. She shared this awesome money win. New York City ID, the driver's license, is a great money saver that allowed me and my hubby to enjoy museums and movies in our city for free or at a heavy discount. We get in for free to Bronx Zoo and New York Aquarium and get movie tickets for $8 per person. I was laid off for a month, so we saved a ton of money by me cooking all of our meals and doing laundry and ironing instead of dry cleaning. Well, that's a good tip. It's not ideal, but the time I had on my hands allowed us to save money despite living on one income. Hashtag money win. Okay, and our next one is from Instagram. This is Hannah Losey. I'm not saying that correctly, and I apologize. But Hannah says, we took savings down to $1,000 and worked hard. A lot of overtime and extra jobs, gave up a lot, sold a lot, and paid off $40,000 last year, over half of our yearly income. It was worth the sacrifice. Hashtag money win. Yeah, Hannah, that's incredible. So guys, just so you know, Hannah also has a really cute little Etsy shop. You can check it out by searching Farmhouse Chick Hannah, where she sells drinkware and painted signs. Her stuff's pretty dang cute, so go check it out. Our next money win comes from Donovan, also from Instagram. His money win is saving $1,000 per month towards financial independence. Donovan, you're pretty much crushing it. $1,000 per month is incredible. Hashtag money win. And our last money win comes from P. Fabulous Flagger on Instagram. Their money win is becoming debt-free before 30. Also pretty impressive. Guys, these are all amazing. Keep them coming. Keep up the money wins. Share those. Tag me on Twitter, on Instagram, or in the Manage Your Money Like a Boss Facebook group. And don't forget to use hashtag money win to be shouted out on this show. Congratulations to all of your progress so far. You guys are kicking butt, and I'm super proud of you. Okay, today's guest is an absolute rock star, Jen Hempel. Jen has become a dear friend of mine, and we recently got to hang out in San Diego. So it was so random. We both went to breakfast at the exact same place without even knowing we were going to be there. In San Diego, too. It's not like it's a tiny city. And so we sat by each other for breakfast and awkwardly stared at each other. And it was actually really a really funny blast. So it's just a small world after all, right? Jen's work can be found on her site, jenhempel.com. She helps women get their financial life in order through her incredible Plutus-nominated podcast, Her Money Matters. She's a motivational money coach for busy women and military families, and she's building up a really pretty sweet community on Facebook called Her Money Matters. So for links to her podcast and to her free community, check out the show notes at themoneynerds.com. She helps people by using practical advice that simplifies the process through coaching and even a membership site. So in this specific episode, we talk about what it was like marrying someone who had a lot of student debt. That can take a toll on relationships, so we definitely talk about that. Growing up in a family that had a slightly scarcity mindset. We talk about virtual envelope systems. So an envelope system is basically using different envelopes to help you budget, so groceries, house, etc. And strategies to paying off debt. Jen has a really interesting, unique approach to paying off debt that I think you guys are really going to like and appreciate. So I'm really excited to share that with you. And guys, I'm just excited to introduce financial coach and my dear friend, Jen Hemphill from jenhemphill.com. Thank you so much for joining us. I am so excited to introduce our guest today, Jen Hemphill. Jen is one of my favorite money people out there. And so you guys are going to love her story. I'm so excited. So Jen, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited. And that is just too sweet. I hope I'm not blushing yet. You're so sweet. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So Jen, give us a brief overview of who you are, what you do. Do you have a family? You know, just the superficial stuff. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. Well, my business, I'm quote unquote was called an accredited financial counselor, but I call myself a motivational money coach because when I say accredited financial counselor, people tend to think I'm a financial planner, which I am completely not. I don't have any authority to do any financial planning. So I do more of the educative piece. I focus on busy women, getting them stuck out of the overwhelm, simplify their finances, make it fun, make it not so stuffy and boring. So that's what I do. And I have a podcast where I talk all about that. So the Money Talk for Women. And on a personal side, I'm a mother of two boys. I've been married, oh my goodness, 15 years, crazy to think. And we're also a military family, so we move around quite a bit. And I believe that was it that you needed to know, right?
Yeah, I think that's perfect for right now. So tell us a little bit about how did you get into debt? What was that debt composed of? And give us your story of getting out of debt.
Sure. Well, let's say my first debt was my car. So this is pre-marriage. And since I've always been keen on getting out of debt, I got out of it quickly. I don't even know how long it took me, but it took me just a couple years. Nice. Or less than 2 years. Then I met my husband. We married. And so I was fortunate in college and in graduate school that I had either scholarships or my parents helping me or me helping. I did contribute, I promise. My husband wasn't so fortunate, so he had taken on a lot of student debt. So when we married, I married into debt, but, you know, and that was a pain point for him for a very long time that he brought into the debt into our family. And so, you know, for me, it was like, well, we'll just get out of it. You know, that's how I saw it. And for me, my story is not really having this really crazy story like yours is a phenomenal story of getting out of debt in so short of a time. But for us, it was not necessarily getting out of that piece of debt, but not accumulating more debt. Mm. So it's preventing more debt because what happens when you're married? Well, you're going to need another car or whatever. So yes, we took on some more debt, but we would pay those things off quickly. And gotcha. We still would have the student loan. So the student loan did take us 15 years to pay off. It was a hefty loan. We just paid it off this year. But in between those 15 years, we also prevented. So I would guess, because I was trying to guesstimate the numbers.
Yeah.
But I would say we prevented more than between $40,000 and $50,000 of debt.
That is so amazing.
So it just all depends. Everybody's different in what they do, because you have to look at what is going on in your life and what's best, you know, or you, whether you need a car, you need a set of furniture or whatever that is. Do you get into debt to focus on this other debt? So it's just a balance and what's best for your situation and what makes you more comfortable.
I love that. I think that that's so, so true. And I think the fact that, you know, if it took you longer to get out of debt,
what I've noticed is it's so about people's personalities, right?
Yes.
And I am one of those people, I'm very grateful for it, but I can go all in and just dive into something and say, sorry, family, sorry, friends, I'm not going to see you for quite a while. When you have a family and you have kids, I mean, that's, you can't always do that. And so sometimes mm-hmm. that does take a little bit longer. And it is really knowing your personality type too. So I appreciate you saying that. So talk to me a little bit about this decision to not go further into debt, to say we're done. What was going through your mind? Why did you decide that? Why not just take out more debt?
Well, because we had that one piece of debt that I know was painful for my husband. So even though it took us longer than we wanted to, we knew we didn't want to take on debt, or we took it on for very short stints of time. So we had a, you know, we would have had a plan, like, let's say a car. We're like, okay, we're going to take this out. We save enough for a good down, I guess you could say down payment, mm-hmm. or, and we will tackle that, you know, right away,
gotcha.
Or whatever the case may be. So it was just a matter of not, I mean, you know, especially for my husband, me being the person I've always been, I knew debt. I didn't like to deal with that. We're the type that, you know, if we use a card, credit card, we pay it off at the end of the month. Just use it for like the points. But that's not for everybody either, right? The credit card is not for everybody either. So it was just that. It was just a matter of, for me, personality wise. And I think that's why I'm in the industry that I'm in today. I didn't want to, the burden of that. And I wanted that freedom that we have now. And I think that's another reason why it took us a little longer to pay that debt too. It was a matter of preventing more debt and also enjoying our life as we go. Yes, we would cut down stuff, but hey, yeah, let's think about this trip here or whatever the case we were assessing at that time. So it was just a matter of balancing all that and living a quality life.
Yeah, no, I totally admire that too. I think it's rare for people to even stay focused, but let alone, I mean, see that light at the end of the tunnel and think that, you know, there's hope. It may be 5-10 years out, but it's still there. And so yeah, I like that you didn't put your life necessarily on hold, you know, while you're, because I mean, some people do, some people will purposely drag out paying off debt, but they live this ultra frugal life. They don't really have a good plan. Mm-hmm. And so they're constantly making payments and living on nothing and not seeing progress.
Right. Exactly.
I think that's perfect that you guys did it that way.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So talk to me a little bit about, I mean, that mindset of debt is not going to be a normal part of my life. How did you, was that self-taught? Did you just always feel that way? Was it your family?
It was the family, for sure. I come from a background where my parents always, there was always a conversation of we don't have enough money or we can't do that. We don't have the money for it all the time.
Yeah.
And I never really understood that because I saw my parents really, really working hard, but yet they were struggling. And then back when I was getting ready to start college, my dad sat me down, I'll never forget, and sat me down and had a conversation with me about money. And he just, it was just simple things as far as knowing how to balance the checkbook. If you're using basically knowing how to balance a checkbook, if you're going to use a credit card, it's okay. Just pay it off because right. then you can get yourself into some trouble there. And if you take on any debt, just pay it off as fast as you can. Those were the three things that my dad taught me, and that was it. But I know how much they were struggling. I know, and granted, growing up, I don't think we lacked anything. We were happy kids,
right.
but it was always a thing of, and then it also taught me a lot of independence. So where as soon as I was able to get a job in high school, I got a job because I didn't want to have to rely. I wanted to make my own money. I wanted to be able to do what I wanted to do and not have to ask my mom and dad, oh, can you lend me this? I wasn't that kid.
Oh, good for you.
I was not like, oh, can you lend me $10 or $20? Because I knew I've heard the what they said over and over again, we don't have any money. So for me, it was the program. Well, don't ask them for money because they don't have any. And I didn't want to have, so that affected me in that sense where I didn't want to be that. I didn't want to live that. And not that they're not happy people, but I felt that they were lacking in that area where they could have enjoyed themselves more, but it was more their own limitations than anything else.
Oh, yeah.
So that was huge for me. And I know when I met my husband, it had a really aha moment where that mindset also really affected me. Even though I had turned some stuff around, financially, I was doing well. I managed my money well. I would pay off. I started investing. Even though I did all that, I also noticed that I was putting away this money, all afraid because I wasn't going to have any. Mm. So that goes back to my upbringing and my parents hearing that. So, and he came from this upbringing, very humble, but they gave him, gave their kids everything, right? Whether they got themselves in debt or not. And he comes up, so he was more about enjoying money, and he's mm-hmm. He's a spender on the saver. So he gave me a good balance of, it's okay to be spending money. That's why we go to work,
exactly,
to make money so we can spend some.
Love it.
And, we're not going to be here all the time, so we can't take that with us. Mm-hmm. Those are some things that I've learned and growing up and meeting my husband and all that good stuff.
Oh, I love that too. It's so true. Especially, it always seems that way, that you have the saver spender. It's usually not the same type. It is, isn't it strange?
Yes.
I never understand that.
Yeah.
So talk to me. Did you guys have some, I can imagine, I know in my personal relationship, I'm definitely the saver. I like to save all my money, and same exact reason. I came from that same type of family environment where it was that scarcity mindset. And so it kind of does make you save a lot more to try to plan for your future.
Yes.
But my significant other, not so much. It wasn't that issue. And I know that we've definitely butted heads on that before too. Mm-hmm. So was that, do you think that your marriage and your husband helped you overcome that mindset?
It did. And I think we helped each other because he financially just wasn't very organized.
Yeah.
I'm saying in a nice way if you're watching. But so he just hearing, seeing what I did and like the structure of what I had when we got married, he's like, oh, yes, let's do that. So he was on board for sure. And the thing that we butted heads on at the beginning of our marriage, he's a person that's huge heart, a huge giver. If you were to come to him, not a complete stranger, well, even sometimes complete strangers, depends, you need something financially wise, lend me $200 or lend me a thousand. If he gives it, he gives it off his back, and he doesn't expect anything in return. That's my husband. That's the type of person.
Good
and
God.
Not that I'm not generous, but how did that fit? My mind was like, how did that fit in our budget?
Right.
There was no budget for that. So that's where we butted heads. And it was also, we had debt. So I was always telling him, we got to take care of ourselves, make sure we're in shape before we can help others.
Right.
So it was just, and he understood that. So that was like the beginnings. And now I have all these accounts, and I do this instead of physical envelopes, I do the virtual envelope. So we have an account that we set as monthly amount. So if those things come across, he gets a phone call. I mean, things, not all our family members manage money the same. So if they need money, he can look at that account and see what we have. And from there, because then it's going to drive me nuts. So that's how we've resolved that. But that's really... But on another areas, we really were on the same page. Obviously, saving, retirement, college funds. I mean, that's something I know we're proud of. We started saving before the kids. I mean, as soon as I found out I was pregnant, we started saving. Granted, we couldn't open an account yet because they didn't have a social security number, because you need that. But we just put it at the beginning. We just put it straight into a savings account. And once they were born and we had that social security number, we opened the 529. So that's something that, I'm proud of. And so those areas were definitely on the same page. And we've definitely learned to communicate more because, again, he's the spender. So sometimes he'll spend and I'm like, where is this coming from?
That's where's that envelope?
Yeah, really, where is this, accounted for? I mean, Yeah. So it's just been a growing thing over the years. It's not all perfect to this day, but we've gotten a lot better.
I love it. It's always give and take, too. It's always like, oh, yeah. If he wants to give money, I mean, you have to budget for him to get that feel good moment. And again, not saying you're not generous. I know that you are. But there's different ways. I know.
It's no, cool. I'm nice. I am.
You're like, I'm like the nicest person ever. and so it is finding those ways that it works for your marriage and your family and your budget and finding those little sacrifices. I am super curious. Talk to me about your virtual envelope system, because that is pretty cool.
Sure. Well, and this, I've been doing this for about 3 years.
Okay.
And I think I was reading, because I'm always reading these different personal finance books. And at that time, I was reading The Total Money Makeover. And of course, Dave Ramsey talks about the envelope method, right? And I just don't like I have cash, but I just didn't like the aspect of having cash. And so I started thinking, I started thinking, what were the things most important to us? So we have one account that's just the billing account. So our income goes in there, and that's where all the bills are filtered out, right?
Okay.
And then from there is also from the different accounts. So I have a grocery account. So a certain amount goes in, so I can see it and be more visual versus having a lump sum and figuring out, oh, X amount was for groceries and X amount is for this. I have to be able to see it. It's not for everybody. But I also have the common things that we spend on. So for example, obviously food and groceries, gasoline for the car, those have separate accounts. And I just use that grocery account, if you will, as the main account, like for the debit card. So like if we go pump gas, I transfer the money, because you can do it from your phone. Right. You transfer that amount of money and there, bam. And I also have, short-term savings accounts for things that are important to us. So our trips, right? I also have it's a little longer, but for the next car, I don't want to buy a car with a loan next time. So I've already figured out when will we buy a car, how much we'll pay for it. And we put away every month for that. Of course, the kids, what is the third one? There's a third one the emergency savings. And it's pretty much, I added, because we don't have the 6 months emergency savings yet. So I just kind of add to it every month. And then we also have accounts for like quarterly bills. What else do we have? We don't have a house, but similar things like that, that don't, any quarterly, any things that don't come out every month. So we put that away. We have an account for the dog.
You have to. They're so expensive.
So those type of things that fit in our life is what we have an account for.
That is super funny. In all honesty, I do not have a dog account yet. I don't know why. His vet bills are probably at least like $1,000 a year.
Oh my God. Yeah.
This dog goes to the doctor more than I do. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I put it there because I have to be visual and I'd rather see it than figure out, okay, we have this amount. This is supposed to go towards whatever the case may be. So for me, it allows me to be more visual and more organized because I'm a little anal about that.
Yeah. No worries at all. I think most people that are into personal finance are. We're a little nerdy.
I know, right?
But so, okay, I love that idea of having this virtual envelope system because I'm the same way. I hate having a significant amount of cash. And I know, $100, $200 a month, that's not a ton of cash. But if I lost that cash, it would impact me. It would impact my budget for sure. And so I love that idea. I think that's something I'm going to have to try is the whole virtual envelope system and see how it goes. So I'll keep you posted on that.
I would just suggest that I'm actually going to do a webinar on this to show exactly how, because I'm just giving you little bits and pieces, but just exactly my thought process of how you should go about doing it, what accounts, you should you consider to make your life easier.
Oh, I love that. That's so, I'll definitely be keeping an eye out for your webinar then. That'll be a fun one. So how do you stay motivated to, I mean, saving for a car, even like something as basic as that? I mean, mm-hmm. most of the time in our world and in our society, we just, if we want a car, we go finance a car and we say $250 bucks a month, no problem. How did you, that's a big mindset, but how do you stay motivated to keep saving and to get out of debt and all of that stuff? How do you stay motivated?
Everything's automated, so I don't even see it from month to month, and just looking at it, you know, because of course you can log into your account and looking at those different accounts and seeing them grow. That's motivating in itself. And just knowing we have that peace of mind of, granted, our budget is not perfect, or how we spend is never perfect. Sometimes we overdo it, but we have these different accounts that, quote unquote, we can borrow from, and it's okay. So, but we are not borrowing from that emergency fund because that is not what the purpose is for, right?
Exactly.
But it gives a little, granted, it's not something that we intend to do, but if things we overspend or whatever, we have some cushion, and so that helps.
That totally helps. One of the tips I always give to people starting off with, like, how do I even manage my money, is mm-hmm. to, yes, get that emergency fund, but I am a huge fan of a buffer in your checking account,
yes.
for that exact
yes.
reason. And so at any given right. point, I always have $500 sitting in my checking account, because
right.
we're not perfect. Budgets
right.
never work that way.
Right. And I know there's, what is that company? And I haven't gotten to that yet, but there is a company, they sell the software, you need a budget. I was trying to figure out So their system is where you set yourself up, work it where you're a month and a half ahead, something like
that's
that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You need a budget.
Yes. You need a budget.
I'll check into that one too. I'm always looking for fun software and tools and stuff. Do you tend to use software, or are you kind of old school pencil paper?
I have it, mm-hmm. but I actually got that one because I don't necessarily use it. I just use my spreadsheet. And then I have a little, just regular, what are they, a dollar, whatever, composition notebook. So this is basically my system. I have my spreadsheet. I have this little composition notebook, and I write out all the bills, everything, savings that we do. And then as I go, I look at the bills. I could look at the finances twice a month. And then as I go, I just check it off so I know it's got done. I highlight it. It's not anything like beautiful or whatnot, but it works for me. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's basically in a nutshell, my spreadsheet and that little notebook.
Your dollar
and of course, the checkbook. But
yeah,
I still do that.
Do you? That's so awesome. So. That's very rare. So props
to
you.
I just kind of to check it off. I mean, I don't necessarily subtract or add.
Oh, I'm with you. It's like,
because I just can look through. I definitely look at the
people that are listening to the podcast are probably thinking we're crazy because we're sitting here doing all the hand.
I talk with my hands.
Me too. That's so funny. So how do you get your kids involved with all of this personal finance stuff? How do you teach them how to be fiscally responsible?
Right. That is something I'm actually starting to do.
Awesome.
I can't say I haven't done. So
sure.
My boys are 13 and 8. And we've been doing it little by little. I've struggled with the concept of an allowance.
Yeah.
So they don't have one yet. I mean, we've had it and then we haven't, and then we've had it, then we haven't. So we haven't been consistent with that. But for example, what I've started to do just recently is that their school lunches. So if they take, nowadays, before it's different, but nowadays you just deposit money, quote unquote, into their account. And so what I'm having them do is say, okay, you have this amount of money this month for your lunches. And what happens now, you used to be, and when I went, you just got a lunch. You didn't have these extra things.
Right.
So what's not clear, especially for my little one, is like, what is extra and how much it costs. They just kind of grab it. So I'm like, what happened? Why do you already need lunch money? So I'm starting to teach them like, okay, this is going to cost extra. So you have this. If you are done with your money for the month, then you need to consider taking your own lunch. And they'll pack their own lunches and that stuff. So that's what I'm working on right now. Because my oldest is going to be going on a trip. So I'm like, I need to fast forward or, you know, make sure that he knows how to purchase, he knows how to count change and those, that type of thing. But whether he has the concept of how much he should spend on certain things, obviously we're still working on it.
Right.
Like last year he bought like over $30 in Girl Scout cookies. I'm like, why do you need $30 of Girl Scout cookies? But then on the other side, this is a funny story. They have those book fairs, right? Mm-hmm. And it was the last one of the year for this past school year. And it was a buy one, get one free, right? So I said, okay, here's $20. You spend 10 and you spend 10, you know? And my oldest, mind you, his mind, buy one, get one free. So I don't even take the time to do this. So he took, let's say, a $5 book. And he would find another $5 book so he can get the most bang for his buck. They got like 10 books.
Wow.
For those $20. Because I don't take the time because that's just too tedious. I mean, if I find a $2.50, yes, he did that. So there's other parts that I'm like, wow, that's good.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so it's pretty. I thought it was funny.
I
got 10 books. I'm like, how'd you do that? Because I didn't think those books were going to go for $5. I figured they would come home with 4 books, you know, one for $10 and another. But yeah, they were having some deals.
That is so great. I love it. So just for fun, I always like to ask people, what kind of car do you drive now?
A Honda Pilot.
A Honda Pilot. There you go. What year is it?
It is a 2008. And here's a funny story. We're a one-car family.
We've been, and actually,
let's say, I have to think about it, where we were living. So we moved 2012. No. Yeah. 2010. 2011, we moved, and our car that we first got, that was sad. I cried that day because the car that we bought, purchased together when we first got married, it was time for him to go. And so we gave him away, had a little crying session. So from there we went to, where we moved, my husband, I mean, it was just not necessary for us to buy a car. And still where we move, he just takes public. So there's no need for another car. So therefore, we're still for 2012. I don't know. One of those 2 years until now, we've been a one car family.
That is so incredible. Because
it's worked out, fortunately.
Well, and you're saving so much money that way, too. Mm-hmm. Like a ton of money. So I have a couple more questions for you, sure. And then I will let you go about your day. I know you're always busy, but so what advice would you give to somebody that is maybe they're trying to get out of debt? They don't really see that light at the end of the tunnel and they just feel overwhelmed. What advice would you give for them?
I would say, take a look at the debt that you have and look at the one that's most pressing, like the one that really, really irks you the most, that gets under your skin, and go with that one first. Yes, of course, we know that there's different sides to this of, you know, pay the one that has the most high interest rate, but mm-hmm. sometimes the one with the most high interest rate may be the biggest amount. Who knows? Another trains of thought, they want you to pay the one with the lowest interest rate or the lowest amount. Right. So I say go with your gut, the one that really, really gets under your skin, and go with that one. But if you're more of a numbers person where that really, the interest that you're paying on it really frustrates you, then go with the one that makes most sense numbers wise. And that's what I would say.
I love that. I think that's really good advice. Sometimes we do get so bogged down with highest yes. interest rate, snowball, avalanche, all these different terminologies
right.
that at the end
right.
of the day, it's sometimes that's as simple as it is. What debt pisses you off the most, honestly?
Exactly.
I love it. So what are you saving for right now? What's your next big purchase?
Oh, my goodness. Well, yes, the car. I'm always constantly our next vacation.
Yeah.
And then the next thing that I'm going to start, I have to talk to a financial advisor about this, but I want to start saving for our forever home. We move around a lot.
Yeah.
But potentially in 5 to 7 years, we'll be done. You know, I don't know. We'll see how, what we'll assess that at the 20 year mark. So I'm definitely looking at saving for our forever home and figuring out what the best strategy, or I mean, I don't want to just put in a regular savings account. So if it's a longer term saving, I got to figure out what the best way for that is.
Fun things to start saving for too. That if that doesn't keep you motivated, I don't know what would. So I love it. Jen, where can people go to learn more about you and your business and your podcast?
Sure. Just at jenhemphill.com. So the podcast, you can find it there. As well. And you can look it up. My podcast name is Her Money Matters, and you can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, all of those places.
So it's jenhemphill.com, JenHemphill.com.
You got it.
Awesome.
You got it.
Jen, thank you so much for spending some time with me and sharing all of your fun story and all your hard-learned lessons. They're never easy.
No,
I really appreciate your time, and I will definitely keep you posted on how this all goes down.
Okay, so what did you guys think? I personally love this episode. Jen is such an amazing person. I love her authenticity and just her frankness with talking about money. She's kind of one of those no BS kind of people, and I really do appreciate that. I feel like they're harder and harder to come by, and so I just appreciate her candidness with conversations and her real life scenario. It's just really pretty awesome to hear that from somebody that's working in the trenches as well. One of the things that Jen shared that really stood out to me was when she talks about paying off the debt that gets the one that gets under your skin the most, the one that really pisses you off. That's the one you should focus on. And that's a very unique approach to paying off debt. So I admire that and I appreciate that. And I just think it's a really cool way to go that can really help you see progress if you are excited or fired up about getting rid of one specific debt. Maybe that's the one for you to focus on. So give it a try. Let me know what you think. I would love to hear your progress and your approach to paying off debt as well. If you have liked this podcast so far, please consider leaving me a review and subscribing to the show on iTunes or on Stitcher or wherever the heck you're listening to this. I really do appreciate the support, and it helps me make the show amazing and create something that you actually care about and want to keep listening to. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate your time, and I hope you have got as much out of this episode as I did. Thanks, and I will see you guys next week.